Okay, so I'm here today with Jim Anderson, and we're continuing our interview series. Today we're working on slide tray number 2, but before we get started, Jim's going to talk a little bit about his fire bomber operation.
Ooh, now that was a classic example of good business sense. I came off the dew line after being up there with Weens as a flight mechanic for about a year, and one of the pilots at Weens, Don Gilbertson, talked me into buying into 2 B-25s to get into the firefighting business. And it was kind of funny. I'm working at Weens, and I'm working on this airplane at night, and we're carrying on. I'd hawked my house and everything I had to get into this deal. Of course, that was the year we had the flood, and I'm in the firefighting business, which is kind of a strange operation. But at Weens, in the coffee shop, one guy is standing there and he says, "That Gilbertson's going to take you, work you to death, and you'll get nothing out of this." He says, "Oh, my, you're making a mistake," and carrying on. Well, the plane got on the contract, one of them, and they would pay $300 a day standby. So the first time when the contract started, I came into work on a swing shift, and I said, "Well, boys, made $300 today." The next night, made six. We're up to six, nine, 1,200. Nobody's saying a word. They're looking at me like, "God damn you," you know. And then it flew on a fire. And I said, "Well, now we were up to about 1,500, and we flew so many hours at $500 an hour. What's that come out to, guys?" Nobody wanted to talk to me. Of course, the overhead at Weens didn't like it either, that a mechanic owned a B-25 and was making money. They did not appreciate that. Kind of a narrow-minded bunch when it came to it. It was a pilot-oriented airline, and mechanics were not supposed to have this stuff. In fact, one of my big mistakes probably led to my leaving Weens. One day I asked him, I said, "Could I bring my plane up on the line after all the Ween planes are gone on schedule to wash it a bit?" "Oh, sure." So I taxied the B-25 up on the line. The windows all opened up and people are staring out, and I'm bouncing around out there washing that airplane. And from then on, I was kind of like a bastard calf to the people upstairs. They did not like this. But it was fun. Anyhow, we had two airplanes. We only put one on the contract. And they were dropping Foscheck on the fires. I think we had Horace Black was our pilot the first year. And just worked and worked and worked. Trying to work at Weens and work on that and keep it going. I was a very tired fellow by fall. But like I say, that's the year the flood came through and everything stopped anyhow somewhere in early August. But it worked out. We borrowed some money from the SBA and bought another airplane, Lockheed Lodestar, had been converted to a Learstar. I had that to rent out to for smoke jumpers. Really a nice airplane. And then we while we were outside, I ran into this lady I'd known years before, and the next thing you know, we got married. And I got to figuring this out and had to be at home sometime, so I sold out.
Is this the one or two seasons?
Oh, about a season and a half, something like that.
Were you running them in the States?
No, just here in Alaska. They wouldn't use them in the States. They'd been outlawed because of some reason or their politics. The politics in the firefighting business are very, very serious and deadly, too, in a way. Don went on, kept going, and he ended up, he had three or four DC-6s as tankers, and we just did great for quite a while there.
Don
Gilbertson.
Oh, Don Gilbertson, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, my brother-in-law runs around with Gilbertson's kids or grandkids.
Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny's a piece of work, he is. He's outside now. I heard in Canada looking at a single otter he bought. Trying to get fixed up. See how that works out. But the firefighting business is interesting. Of course, after things settled down, I was work teaching school at the borough had an aircraft mechanic school, so I went to work there. And then that was pretty good, so I'd grab some students and go out and work on everybody's firefighting airplane. So I had a pretty good couple summers there. It was kind of nice. It's fun.
So your disengagement from Ween, was that your choice or theirs?
Oh, theirs. Because when we were out buying the Learstar, I came back a little late from vacation, and they said, you can't do that. You're terminated. And the assistant director of maintenance, he says, oh, we got to terminate you, this and that. And I says, oh, 2 days? Yeah. It's against the law, against the rules. Okay. And his remark was, well, I'm sure sorry that Gilbertson led you down the primrose path. And I turned around and I says, do you really think being a lead man on Graveyard is the greatest job in the world? And left Ween's. Best thing that could have happened to me.
Okay, you ready to take a look at some pictures?
Sure, go right ahead.
I don't know if you can. Can you see that all right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know who took that picture, but that looks like my old Taylor craft.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been over at Metro Field.
What was the history on that plane? When did you buy it?
Oh, a friend of mine found it, and some guys at Ween's had owned it, and we decided to go partners on it. Gosh, $1,700 he paid for it, I think. And, you know, Roy was going to learn to fly. Roy Peterson was a partner. And then he lost his hand in a snow machine accident, so he kind of gave up. So then I started flying it a bit. We had it for 3-4 years. Good little airplane, 65 horse.
Ended up selling it?
Oh, yeah. The fabric went bad. I bought a riverboat to salvage a wrecked B-25 on the Tanana River on a sandbar. And the riverboat was so much fun that I just didn't fly. And the next thing you know, the fabric went bad, so we sold it.
Why did you end up being a mechanic instead of a pilot?
I just wasn't that interested in flying. Most of the time, it's absolutely boring. And the mechanic in there is always something that was interesting, seems like. Mm-hmm. Just one of those things, and I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's great. I sold the airplane and gave up flying. I was only running around the pattern maybe once a month, and it just wasn't worth... Couldn't stay... what would you call it? Current and skilled at it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
of all these infield salvages you've done, where you've repaired the planes, have you flown any of them out? Or
no, always had somebody who was a pro because they're always in bad places. And
mm-hmm.
Either get the owner or somebody that was very good at that sort of thing to bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I didn't consider I was that good. Oh, yeah, that's it. Old Bluey.
just for reference, do you remember what year you had this?
Probably would have been about 1970, somewhere in there.
What year was the plane?
Probably 1946, 47. That's when they built most of them. Yes, that was quite a little machine.
Did you ever use it on any jobs?
No. Oh, I told people, said, well, we want you to fly out and work on our airplane. I said, well, I ain't going in there. I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Be wrecking my airplane too. And some of these people land their airplanes where they shouldn't.
Sometimes that's what keeps you in business.
Oh, well, it worked out, yeah. There it is. Now that was taken in the spring, and we had one airplane that wasn't ours, it was another one. But I'd work on it to go drop sand or ashes on the ice, on the river ice, in the bad spots where it normally would jam up and flood villages.
That sounds interesting.
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, geez, we'd run around and dump that stuff. And it was beautiful weather usually, you know, and cool. Everything performed wonderfully.
Was that the B-25?
Yeah, that was it there, yeah. I think that was probably... we had numbers, tail numbers were... Antique One was the call sign on it. A fellow named Ed Thorswood flew it. And he was very good.
Do they still dump sand on the rivers?
Nope. They gave that program up, and I don't know why.
Was it effective?
Oh, very. Uh-huh. Very. It would melt the ice right out, you know, and you wouldn't get these blockages. It was great.
How?
But the state gave it up after several years. I don't know why.
How widespread was it? Was it mostly on the Tanana or up on the Yukon?
Oh, down the Yukon, up Fort Yukon, down to Galena, Nenana. It went all over with the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of that, dropping sand on.
I think we're even at Bethel. Yeah, we were at Bethel once. I wasn't on it then, though.
And who was the pilot at this time?
Ed Thorsrud. Uh-huh. Just a real good, calm, very skilled pilot.
Local guy, or?
No, he came out of Montana, I think it was. And previous to that, he'd flown tri-motor Fords with smoke jumpers and a TBM, a single-engine torpedo bomber that was rigged up for dropping fire retardant. And then he got his own B-25, but the people that got the contract just hired him to fly the airplane. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he was smooth.
What do you, when you're going out and hiring a pilot for something like this, I mean, do you look for experience as a bomber pilot?
Somebody that's been in firefighting because mm-hmm. of the low altitudes. Mm-hmm. You want to find somebody that's pretty skilled. Because you got to go in low. And with the B-25, you had to be below 130 miles an hour. Otherwise, the stuff would start climbing up. The air would bring it up. If you were too fast, it even hit the tail feathers. That's what happened to a couple of them in the States. They were too fast, and it tore the tail off of them.
Oh, really? It actually did damage to the
plane? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You could tell who was good by how high the stuff was red. Mm-hmm. And you could tell who was really good by how high it was on the fuselage after the dump gates. Mm-hmm. So you knew right away who was good and who was screwing up.
Was it difficult to fly the B-25s at low enough speeds to do
it? Oh, it was a... No, it handled beautifully. You were in trouble because if you lost an engine, why, things weren't too good. Although it happened to Ed, and he managed to get out of it, brought the airplane into Bettles and fixed it there. That was later on during the fire season.
So during the fire season, did you have to go out to the different fire sites and work on the plane?
Oh, sometimes, yeah. Usually I just went always at Tanacross a couple times. They had a station there. And McGrath a couple times. That's about it. What do we got here now?
Is that Metro?
Yeah, yeah, it's a Twin Beach landing. I just took the picture, I think, probably from up on top of the roof.
There's not much left of Metro now. There's still some planes
out there. Oh, yeah, it's privately owned. It's still operating, oh, yes. But only for the people that have places on it.
And they've got a float pond there, too, don't
they? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a rather narrow one, but it's all right. Mm-hmm. That was probably one of Air North's airplanes.
Just as a little side note, I was wondering the other day when I was driving by what the history of Chena Marine is. How long has it been here?
I was teaching school then. And Al and Gareth and Link, a bunch of the family, the Wright family, mm-hmm. built it. Got this old homestead and they built it. And it was probably 71 or so. And then just started selling lots and everything. I bought this lot, though, in 1980. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they made a nice setup.
Yeah, people who I bring back here just driving around once in a while are always amazed at all the planes back here.
Yeah, well, I first moved over here in 93, I think it was. And in the summer, there was maybe three or four float planes and a lot of the empty lots. Now everything's full up. I don't know how many float planes are pretty much all up and down one side.
When did you establish the hangar here at Chena Marine?
I'm pretty sure I moved in about 1993, and all I had was the main building. And the next year we put on this shop on the side of the hangar and put in the office and the other stuff. Mm. Somewhere in there. It went on, well, I started building 3-4 years before I moved in. Mm-hmm. Footings 1 year, floor the next, and then finally got together to get the walls and roof up.
How long has the little cabin been out here?
Oh, that was a little earlier. Fellow that was working for me, going to live over here in a tent. I says, oh, hell, build a log cabin with the trees on the lot. So he did, and they lived in it, but I don't know how. It was pretty leaky. They hadn't chinked her very well. Mm-hmm. They built it with the bark on the logs, everything else. It was pretty crude, but they lived in here for 3-4 months. But that was the only thing here for several years. That would have been somewhere in the 80s.
Has there been booms and busts in the airplane repair business?
Oh, my, yes. See, the pipeline was really booming up. And I left the school. Probably about 74. See, they finished the pipeline in 76, was it? So somewhere in there, 74, 75, I there was no airplane work because everybody's working on the pipeline. And I was beginning to wonder what I was going to do next when this fellow that dispatched trucks for Sourdough Express calls up and he says, do you have any Herman Nelson heaters you can rent? So we made a deal that I heated up heavy equipment for about 2 winters. Mm-hmm. And between heating up trucks and cats and everything else and keeping Herman Nelson heaters going, a guy has got a full day's work in. But it kept things going.
Was that just around Fairbanks?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you, I thought maybe they might have had, you work at mines or something
like that? No, the only trip out of town was once up to what they call Pit 10 to thaw out a bunch of big trucks. And we were only there 2 days.
Up on the Dalton? Or?
Yeah, yeah, on the Hall Road. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was a good airplane.
That's an international, huh?
Yeah.
Use that jet there, unless that's...
Yeah. I couldn't tell you what we were doing there, but...
Maybe it was...
Oh, they were loading there and dropping ash on the China down to the mouth and out into the Tanana, so that wouldn't block up like it had previous years. Mm-hmm. And I had worked on the airplane. He was off flying it, and I said, boy, I'm going to go over and get a hamburger and a beer at Pike's. So I went up and I'm having lunch. Fella comes in, he says, Anderson, your airplane just crashed. That's what he's talking about. He says, well, it disappeared behind the trees over there downriver, and a bunch of stuff kind of boiled up out of the trees, and then and I says, oh, I don't think so. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, there it is, right there, it was coming back in the land. Ed was flying again, and he would be right down on the river when he dumped, so the stuff wouldn't fly around too much. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you'd go down through there, and you could look out, and the wingtip and the shadow were just a couple feet apart.
How would you load sand into that to be dumped?
Oh, we had a hatch up on top of the tank. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This was a state contract?
Yeah, yeah.
And you said you did that for a couple years?
Oh, yeah, yeah. 2-3 years. Let's see now. I believe that was taken down at Nenana. One of the fellas had parked his B-25 and his 3 down there for the winter. Mm-hmm. Cheaper rates and everything. So we went down to work on him in the spring and get the batteries in and get him fired up and fool with him a bit.
Can you identify the person in the picture there?
Yeah, it was probably Lyle College. He was working with me on this stuff for a year or two, mm-hmm. part-time.
Is part of the aircraft repair?
Well, it was just, yeah, we worked on a bunch of stuff. He was out there helping me with on the airplanes on the Fort Wainwright.
Mm, the bombers.
Yeah, and then he'd been a student at school and seemed pretty level-headed, so I put him to work with me a bit. And then Lyle was pretty sharp, though. He seen the money in the airplane business, and he went back to being an iron worker. Mm-hmm. Did well. Yeah, that's Lyle there in the foreground, and I can't remember the other fellow's name. Oh, yeah.
Just doing maintenance on that?
Yeah, yeah. Probably getting them ready. There's snow in the background, so we're probably just getting it ready for in the spring.
Mm. What am I looking at down here underneath?
That's part of the gate mechanism for dumping. There was 3 or 4 small doors down there, and you could open up as many as you wanted or whatever.
Was there a, you hear about like the 747 that's dumping now.
Oh, yeah.
What was the capacity of the B-25 and how?
B-25 was 1,000 gallons. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
And it all come out pretty quick, being liquid.
Ooh, didn't take anything at all. Mm-hmm. There was ram air duct on top to pressure it, and it really came out good.
Oh, so the tank was pressurized?
Just by ambient air, or airspeed, yeah. Uh-huh. Just a little, well, it wasn't 6-8 inches tall up on top.
Is this an intake for the engine?
Yeah, carburetor air.
Where did you pick the B-25 up at? Who did you buy it from?
We bought it off of 2 other wing pilots, Ron Dodson and Darwin Kellogg. Mm-hmm. They had decided to go out and go to work for a bigger airline and leave wings. And so they sold us this stuff. Not bad. I think we paid $15,000 for both airplanes.
So they were up here local?
They're local boys, yeah.
Okay, had they been using them for fire service?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been used for it before, yeah. Mm-hmm. Metro Field again.
Metro?
Looks like it, yeah. Low trees in the background.
Mm-hmm. Probably more of your sanding operation since it's winter.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes.
Did you eventually paint this?
Not this one.
Not this one. It must be the other
one. We painted the one that Don and I owned, Antique 5. Mm-hmm. Painted it red and black. And that was taken out on the base, probably, looking at the hills in the background. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What plane is that?
DC-3.
Was that?
They used them for smoke jumpers.
Okay. That wasn't your plane. That was just
the plane
that was coming in.
No.
More picture of the B-25. I've got a bunch of the B-25 pictures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are these other B-25s?
There were six of them, all told.
Contractors from the States or local planes?
Let's see. We had one. Red Dodge out of Anchorage had one. Bob Schott had one. Those are the local people. And I think a couple of the others, two of them were owned by Gren Collins. That was in Anchorage. Bob Schlafly came up from the States, and Ed came up from the States.
Mm-hmm. And you said the reason you got out of the business was because you were freshly married and just wanted to spend some
time. Well, that's when I sold out of my operation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Don and I weren't getting along too good about that time. Mm-hmm. He kind of wanted me to leave so he could really carry on. Like I say, he was quite a guy, quite a character. Now, that's the PB-4Y. It's a single-tailed Liberator, you might say. You can see the red stuff on the belly there from the cause check.
Was that a bigger capacity than
the PB-5? Oh, yeah. I forget what they carried.
Who's that up on the...
Oh, no telling.
Okay.
I thought one of their mechanics. Those people were... Hawkins and Powers out of Grable, Wyoming.
Okay. Once again, is that same plane taken off the PBY?
No, that's the B-17. Oh. We had a couple of them here one year, too. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Look at that tail. Yeah. Yeah, there they're sitting there, yeah.
Anybody you know?
No, I couldn't say right off.
That one's got four engines.
Mm-hmm. Now, what the heck? That was something else again. A tail dragger with four engines. You know, I don't remember what that was. The four wise had a nose wheel. I think it's a 17. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, you saw all sorts of different planes up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a 17, plane. Yeah.
More of the 17. Did they use the nose cones for those, for spotting fires or anything?
No, they were strictly droppers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who that is either.
North Star Aviation.
That was Bob Schott and Bill Whitmer owned that.
Mm-hmm. Were they local guys?
Or? Yeah, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's in the spring. We're getting it ready. That was the airplane we used for the dropping sand and ashes on the river. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Did you do any work on any of the bombers for retardant other than your own?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Worked on the PB-4Ys. And there was some B-26 showed up working it a little bit. Although I think that was a land management pilot on that one. That's Lyle in the foreground again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when these crews came up from all over the place to fight fires with their bombers... They didn't necessarily bring their own mechanics with them. Sometimes they...
Generally, yeah, they had their own. They'd get me when their things were really, everybody was busier than heck. Each airplane usually had a mechanic with it. Mm-hmm. But every now and then they needed help.
And that's Lyle standing in front of one of your planes?
That's North Star Aviation again.
Okay, you're doing the sand.
Yeah. And that's the end of, I don't know which number it was, but it's on a sandbar off the Tananaw River, about opposite of Fort Wainwright.
Is that one of your planes?
It wasn't one of mine, no.
Okay.
Actually, it was Tharsrud's airplane, but he'd gone outside to see his family because things were slow. And another pilot named Herman Gallagher put it in. Claimed they had bad fuel. We never did really come up with a good answer, but it wasn't fuel. Something went wrong.
Was that a smoke bomber?
Yeah, firefighter, yeah.
Smoke bomber, fire bomber. Mm-hmm. Nobody was hurt?
No. See, well, we had the engines off by then, yeah.
So you guys salvaged what you could off it?
Oh, yeah, when I took all the instruments out and all the parts and pieces I could, and pulled the engines and got them set up so we could pick them up or do something with them. I hadn't quite figured that out. As it turned out, there was a big Chinook helicopter came in off the north slope. We were doing some maintenance work, and I got them to go out and pick up the engines.
This wasn't
and that's when I found out about static electricity in helicopters.
Uh-oh.
Because they were up there, and they had a long sling on one engine and a shorter one on the other. They came in and they were going to pick up the short sling first. And they reeled out their cable. I'm standing there with the engine sling in my hand and grabbed that hook and got knocked right on my back. Crawled up and thought, oh, that was static. By that time, their hook had hit the ground. So, okay, she's grounded. I can hook up now. But there's a lot of power to that stuff off a helicopter. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the same engine recovery that you had other pictures of on, is that in this slide reel or was that the other one? Because I saw pictures of two engines being lifted up.
That was later on, yeah. There should be some more of these somewhere.
Maybe that's later on in this slide tree. I thought that was in the last slide tree. The ones where you had, was that your wife with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where we're up there at the airplane. You can see I've got the flaps loaded into the boat and some other stuff. Wife's getting out lunch, looks like.
Is that Ruth?
Judy.
Judy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep thinking your wife's name is Ruth.
Oh, yeah, that was some good times.
And which dog is that?
That's old King, her big old shepherd.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The other one's around there somewhere, I'm sure.
There probably wasn't many opportunities to take your wife along with you.
Not really, with the kids and all.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to find a babysitter. She just loved to get out in that boat.
Yeah.
Still does. Still on the same boat.
Is that the one sitting right out back here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was confused on the sequence of things.
Yeah, they were getting ready to pull the engines off. They're coming up right now.
Was it? When a plane went down like that, was it pretty much open season, or were you hired to go out and get those?
Well, I was hired to go get the stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever did get paid or not, but I went up and got them.
Mm-hmm.
And we put the engines on another airplane later on, and away it went. Still used them.
Locally?
Oh, yeah, there's still, there was a couple of B-25s sitting in Anchorage that weren't using, and Ed took the engines down there, installed them, and away we went.
Do you have to go through an engine like that after it's been in a wreck?
Well, we probably should have, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Figured they saw it. Well, you can see the prop in the foreground, how bent it is.
Just on a day-to-day on your average wreck, if you have an engine that the prop's all bent-held, do you have to go through the engine?
Or? You do now. You didn't. Mm-hmm. You didn't in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And this was restricted category, and the FAA didn't fool with them very much. They didn't.
Weren't you tight, if you were putting those on a different plane after it had been in a wreck, weren't you kind of taking a crapshoot if you had put them on the plane? So.
Oh, yeah, but it's all we had, so we used them.
You couldn't run the engine somehow
on an engine stand or something? No, put them on and try it out. And they worked fine for another 3-4 years.
Right on.
That I knew of.
It just still amazes me doing field work like this. I mean, you go out, you cut poles, build a tripod. And
just me and the wife, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just have a manual come along to pull those off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did the weather cooperate with you?
Oh, it was beautiful. We had a great time.
Just camped out there for
just
a few
camped
days?
Out right with it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to pull both engines?
Oh, I think we're up there a couple days. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
And where did you say the sandbar was?
It's opposite Fort Wainwright. Mm-hmm. But I used to line up between the hospital and something on the ridge behind there to know where it was at.
I suppose
channels all changed. Everything's grown up now. You can hardly find it. There's hardly anything left. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
It's always strange. People look at these pictures and say, oh, what an adventure that was. What an adventure this was. Nope, it was just another day's work.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like an adventure to a lot of people who spend their life behind a desk.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's Judy there. Things are coming up.
What year was this? Can you tell by
the... You know, I think I was... Well, I brought him back in the Metro Field. I just had him dropped. When I bought the boat, 69. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you bought the boat for this job?
Oh, yeah. I was using a lake boat, 14-footer. And I see this ain't going to work too well. So I called up my tax man and asked him if I could buy a riverboat for salvage work, and he says, absolutely. So I went down to Compo's. They were still located on Cushman Street then. Told him my fine story, and I said, I'll get about a 20-footer. Bob looked at me, and he says, you know, you got a family and this stuff you're doing, everything. He says, a 24 doesn't cost that much more. I think you'll be happier. A 33 Evinrude. $2,100 in those days. The last engine I bought, the outboard for the boat, was $5,600. So I got clean up today after how many years? 69 and now? So I'm on my third engine, and I'm up to a 50-horse Mercury now.
When was the last time you took the boat out?
Oh, didn't go out last year because of the way I was feeling, but the year before we were out with it several times. Mm-hmm.
Canada's kind of tricky in a boat, isn't it?
It's just you got to learn how to watch the water a bit, and even then you'll go aground now and then. We like to go down river a ways. There's some clear water streams come in, and it's kind of a good place to catch pike. They're not too big, but it's a lot of fun. Get out of town. And the kids just practically grew up in that boat.
Yeah.
Picnic time. Gosh, I'd work all day long. Come home and we want to go have a picnic. Okay, load her up. Kept it right in the river, right near the house. Worked out nicely.
And you're over here off the Chena, right? So you have easy access to...
We had to, did then, yeah. It was right next to Fouts' Landing, yeah. Mm. We just kept it there. Get it up vertical, sit it on the mount on some planks, garbage. Shift everything over to the other side and take it off.
What did one of those engines weigh?
About 3,000 pounds. That's what we figured it at anyhow. There's the other side going up.
Nobody was hurt when they...
Oh, no. You can see the wing damage at a bunch of trees. He actually landed in a little slough. Then slid up on this bar. Mm-hmm. And we thought about it for a while. Maybe we could repair it or something. And I said, no, the back was twisted, the fuselage was. So this was impossible. Mm-hmm. There she is.
Some of these slides are really faded. Here we got the helicopter.
There's the helicopter, yep.
And I think this picture, I flipped it so that it would be oriented right. I think in this picture you can see the engines. The way it's originally. there's one where it's sideways and you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much was a helicopter rental in those days?
You know, they gave me a pretty good deal because they were actually doing a test flight on there after the repairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it ran me about $600. Mm-hmm. It was a real bargain.
Oh, I meant to ask you that you had the picture of the plane from Minto Lake, and you said that came in on by helicopter, but they dropped the wings.
Yeah.
Were the wings repairable after they dropped them, and where did they drop them?
Oh, I don't know where they dropped them. Somewhere on the way in and hit a bunch of birch trees. Yeah, they were repaired. The airplane flew it, went outside after that.
Did he hit them when he was flying, or did he just... He just
pulled the pin and let them drop. They got to swinging around so bad underneath he couldn't control his machine.
Okay. That wasn't quite a Chinook, though.
There we go. And both engines. Let's see. Oh, that's just a picture from the top of the hangar at Metro Field.
Mm. There's not a hangar out there, or it wasn't a tower, it was a hangar.
Just a hangar, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Air North owned it. Then they had classrooms on top. We rented part of it for the school. Mm. Which is good. The students got to work on all kinds of things and see action going on and help with the airplanes a bit with the mechanics for Air North. It was a real good setup in a way. Too crowded, though.
How did that all come about, you getting on in the school with the borough? Did you apply for the job? Was it word of mouth?
Oh, it was silly. I was, I just gotten back from the States with Judy, and I was thinking, well, I'll get to see, here I am, fresh married and pregnant wife, no money and no job. And I ran to an old friend from Weens who was teaching at the school, Ed Phelps. And Ed says, you know, he says, I'd like to go off and go fishing for about a month. I'm tired of this for a bit. Why don't you take this? You know, it's only 4 hours a day. I said, well, that worked out fine. So I took the job, thinking the biggest joke in the world, me being a school teacher. Well, a month or so goes by, Ed shows up, and he says, you know, I hear this salmon are running a chitin. I think I'll go down there. Why don't you just keep this job? You need it more than I do. So that's how I ended up with the job, mm-hmm. full time. Yeah, quite a guy.
How many years did you teach there?
Oh, 4.5, 5 years, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, the borough started. It was North Star Borough School of Aviation. One guy, Walt, I can't think of his last name right off. Walt. Oh, it'll come to me later. Kind of got vocational education going here. And he was in charge of it. And then the next thing you know, they built Hutchinson, and the university took everything over, and it's still going.
Hutchinson's named after Jim Hutchinson?
After Jim Hutchinson, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Was it good years there at the school?
Enjoyed it. Actually, I enjoyed teaching. But it's finally got a little bit, I got burned out. Those 4.5 years, I didn't get a single vacation all that time, just the weekends.
Did school run year-round?
Yeah. One class wouldn't be leaving and the other one was coming in. Mm-hmm. It's a one-year program, one of the few, 1 year. But I enjoyed it. And then finally I was just, oh boy, getting bad-tempered. Mm-hmm. Time to go.
No breaks at all.
The only way you get a break, there was two of us teaching. Bob Richardson was the other fella, and we would kind of make a deal where he would take it for a week, and so I could get a week off, and I'd do the same for him. Mm-hmm. But that was the only actual time off we had.
Do you keep in touch with many of the students from the...
They show up pretty regular, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, Terry out here that's working with me now, he was one of them. He was a mixture of high school students and people on the Manpower Development Training Act. Adults. And some of those fellas figured out the answer. They were getting more money than I was. Mm. Thought we were doing pretty good. We were getting $1,000 a month.
That was good money back in the day.
Wasn't bad at all. We just based it on what a lead man got at Weens. Mm-hmm. Plus so much a ticket, you know, and went from there. I'm sure other teachers made more, but it worked out for us.
Sure what that is.
Oh, that's 25. Okay. Yeah.
Did you use your plane as a teaching tool to the students?
Once in a while. In fact, we had an engine change to do one night out at the base, and I gathered up half a dozen of the students and said, well, why don't you come out here and I'll pay you and you get a little more experience and see what's going on. And they all jumped for it, and away we went. Mm-hmm. And changed the engine that night. Had it running about 2, 3 in the morning.
Did you keep the B-25 at Metro?
Parked him there in the wintertime.
Uh-huh. What was the other plane that you owned out there?
A Learstar, but that was at International. Mm-hmm. Then it went outside and traded it off, I think, to get into the DC-6s. There I am after a fresh paint job on the old girl. That was Antique 5. Painted it out on the ramp at International.
That was the B-25?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all clean and shiny.
That's you?
That's me. I weighed about 180 pounds in those days. Lean and mean. You know, it's strange, too. It doesn't matter what I put on for clothes. I'm a walking shambles.
Well, you painted the whole plane.
Well, just the fuselage wing and the prop tips and that stuff, yeah. Okay. The wings were still aluminum.
Was there a reason to paint the plane?
No, just Don decided we ought to paint it. It looked better. Mm-hmm. So we went and painted it.
Painting can be a pretty expensive job, can it?
Oh, it wasn't so much then. We just cleaned it up and mm-hmm. grabbed a bunch of DuPont enamel and had at it.
I'm glad you identified that as yourself, or I wouldn't have recognized you. Of course, the only pictures I've seen of you so far about have been where you got coveralls on and parkas.
Well, there's one up there where I'm dressed up even in Las Vegas. That's my dad. He came down to see how things were going.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, well, Pop, as long as you're here, how about give me a hand? He says, nope. You don't work on cats, and I don't work on airplanes.
Did your dad spend his whole life in Alaska?
No, he was raised up in Spokane, mm-hmm. over Seattle, and he came to Alaska, I think, somewhere in probably the late 20s. Mm-hmm. No? Yeah, it would have been the late 20s, yeah. He was in one of the, he was at the university when it was still very, very small. He went to school out there for a year. And I want to say 27, but I'm not real sure. Mm-hmm. I want to ask him, how come you came to Alaska, Pop? Oh, I had this big Essex car and running around Seattle, and I got the word out the revenuers were after me, so it was time to leave. So he did. Ended up at Ferry, I think. He was down there trapping and carrying on. And he met Mom there. Came to town, went to work for the FE company.
Miner most of his life? Or?
No. Heavy equipment of sorts. Mm-hmm. And then, there were some pictures of him driving the old 60-horse gas cats when they were building the Davison Ditch. And, let's see, him and Mom got married in 32 at the old Chattanooga FE camp. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, yeah, he did a little mining there for a while, but I think basically it was the FE company, and I did some mining about 1939 because I was a little kid, and we were at Pine Creek on the Upper Chena. Mm-hmm. I remember a few things about that, like backing my tricycle into a hornet's nest. Don't want to forget that one. And let's see, then he's back to town. And, of course, the war came along. Went to work to engineers. I moved to Seward for a year or two. There was a heavy equipment shop down there.
What's a little surprising to me is they toted a tricycle all the way up there to Pine Creek.
Just threw her on the sled, went in with cat train. Mm-hmm. You can still see the trail.
Yeah.
Going up there.
Is that on Chena Hot Springs Road or off of Chena Hot Springs Road?
It basically goes right up the Chena River. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's off the side of the road.
How do you do mining up there?
Well, he made enough money to buy a house in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. A little log place on 8th, just off Cowell Street on 8th. And let's see, then he went to Seward and came. So he probably would have stayed in Seward if it hadn't been for that house. Mm-hmm. That was the first house anybody had, either one of mom or dad had owned, and they came back to Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. So he worked out base and engineers and heavy equipment shop for some years. And then went off on his own, clearing land for homesteaders with an old D8 cat. Prices were high, yeah. Badger Road, Farmer's Loop, Tina Hot Springs. She was pretty tough, got $20 an hour. Mm-hmm. Furnished the fuel, the cat, the operator. Oh, yeah.
That plane looks nice with that pickup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish I'd have got that ladder out of that picture, though. Mm-hmm.
Was this an international?
Or yeah, it's international on the, what we would call it, the East Ramp then. Mm-hmm. Paralleling for the road, airport road. Mm-hmm. That's one of the PB4Ys at sunset. And there they all lined up.
Those are all 25s?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell which one's yours. Are any of those yours?
Yeah. The first one with the red tails. Mm-hmm. And the next one...
Okay, yeah, that's white. Okay.
The next one was number one. I forget who owned it. And the 7 was our other airplane. We got it on contract about a year later. Mm-hmm. Or Don did. I fixed it up. Got it put back together, and they were flying it, too. That was a hard-nosed one. It had 6 50-caliber machine guns mounted in the nose, originally. Mm-hmm. 2 gun packs on each side, 50s again. You can imagine the firepower that came out of that when it was strafing away.
Were these World War II bombers?
Yeah, yeah, the Mitchells.
So you owned the 7 too, or is that just...
Yeah, we bought the 7 and 5 all at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the 7 had been just sitting... There's only one airplane on the contract. Some parts got robbed off it, but I managed to get enough stuff together to put it back into service. And that's Dale Briggs in front of Red Dodge's airplane. Briggs, Dale Briggs. We were together for about a year. He was one of the students also. Mm-hmm. And when he got out, he went wandering off, and he was up playing helicopter mechanic. Out of Prudhoe or up that way somewhere, and something went wrong and he got flipped out of the machine and got killed.
Oh no, he got thrown out of the helicopter?
Yeah, about a year after we parted company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a good hand.
So he was working for you guys?
For me, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, me and Don, yeah. Mm-hmm. Aero Retardant Company.
Was this up when he got thrown out of the helicopter? Was this up when they were doing exploration up there?
Just starting to get going, a bit of mm-hmm. pipeline work, yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing everything.
That's a shame.
Sure was. There's our Learstar.
Okay.
Don's sitting there in front of it. Uh-huh. It was a Lodestar, or an L-18, they called it. And then you put that longer nose on it and some other modifications, and it's just fast airplane, comfortable. Had at one time belonged to Bechtel Corporation. And then we got it and gutted it out and put in different seats and everything for the smoke jumpers.
What's the advantage of putting the longer nose on it? Aerodynamics?
Aerodynamics, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What other modifications were done to it in that?
Oh, there was different. There were several things. There was a tail incident change in sail. A lot of the fairings were changed to smooth things out. Mm-hmm. Just clean it up in general.
No new engines or anything like that?
No, same engines. Mm-hmm. Right, 1820s.
And that was a smoke jumper plane?
Yeah, used it for a couple of years.
Remember who your pilots were for that?
Well, Don pretty much flew that. Mm-hmm. Smoke jumpers loved it. They said, boy, that thing get down slow is like stepping off of a chair. Mm-hmm. And everything, said that was fine. But then they wanted the DC-3 to haul more people.
Gilbertson was a Wien employee at some point?
Oh, yeah, I flew for Wien for quite a few years. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. He was one of the captains.
I've heard the name through the years. I just wasn't sure if I was confusing his kids with my brother-in-law or something my dad said.
No. Oh, God, I was there for quite a while.
That's a beautiful plane.
It was. It was something else. Bought it down in Florida and flew it up here. Or flew it to Dallas, and we got, there was two or three door sizes, so we put in a larger door size so you could get a drum through it. Mm-hmm. It had to be enough to get a 50-gallon drum through it. And I left Don in Dallas. Let's see. And I drove a pickup up with a bunch of the parts and pieces in it, yeah.
You went down as a partner, like a financial partner, or as a mechanic, or both?
I was both.
Both?
Yes. I was never mentioned as partner. It was always my mechanic. Pilot mentality again.
Yeah. I know how those pilots are.
Don, when we bought this off the Carolina Aircraft Company, we're up getting payments, you know, getting the money ready and everything. And one of those other fellows, I think Carl Boy his name was, he says, oh, by the way, there's a sales tax here and this and that. And God, it was going to be about $3,000. And he says, unless you have some sort of tax exempt. And I'm sitting there and I says, yeah, I got one after the flood we had. Got it right here. And I whips out a card and reads off NSB 67. That's it. Put it away. Well, we're leaving. Don says, where'd you get that tax exempt thing? What's all that about? I says, actually, it's my building permit code. There wasn't no exemption deals. He looked at me in a couple of days. He was kind of wondering what was going on. Well, they were trying to, I knew the state of Florida wasn't going to see that money. I figured we might as well keep it. So that's the way she went. Oh, that was a nice flying machine. It really was. Ah, the C-82. It belonged to Northern Air Cargo, and I would go over there and heat it up for them when they came to Fairbanks, take care of it a bit.
This was the years after you worked at the school?
Oh, yeah, somewhere along in there. Mm-hmm. Some of it was while I was working at the school, too.
This was when things were slow because of the pipeline?
This is the reason when the pipeline fell, the truck drivers got hold of me. I had the heaters because I kept two of them mounted up and working to take care of these guys when they came through town. Mm-hmm. Bobby Shulton's operation. He had two of them. That's what started Northern Air Cargo, which is still in operation and flying jets now.
Mm-hmm. And fish and fuel. And
oh, everything they can. The 82s are getting gone for a long time. The FAA decided they were too old. A political move again.
Did these planes have a big rear hatch or was it a side door?
No. They had a gate open up. Swing gate back in, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they hauled pickups and trucks and anything and everything. And that's Cliff Everett's Travel Air. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite a machine.
That was out there when you were warm up?
Yeah, I don't know where that was parked at that time. It was probably right around there. East ramp, you might say. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Let's see. I don't know where that was at, but you can see the props bent. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the landing gear broke. It was a Aurora Air Service airplane. You see where the wheel is sitting back here? Mm-hmm. And ski and stuff? Well, the landing gear broke just above the attach bolts at the wheel. And it fell down on the ski, but it did go up on its, tipped up forward enough to get the prop. So I went up there and stuck a new gear into it and a new prop, put it together, and we flew it back to town.
This was somewhere, this wasn't in a town, this was just out
in the street. No, this is up in some river somewhere. I don't know exactly where it was. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell you now. Don't even know what year it was.
Doesn't look other than the gear and the prop that it got.
Didn't hurt a thing, you know.
Winter time again.
Oh, yeah. same thing. And that was on the Salt River. You can see the aileron hanging down. Mm-hmm. Came around a corner, he wouldn't make it, and he caught the wing.
Just on a tree, or?
Yeah, yeah. And it skidded around and came to a halt. Tore the floats up badly, though.
Yeah.
On the rocks. And we went up and fixed that up. I think the plane belonged to Rod Christensen.
How did you fix the floats?
Boy.
Yeah,
there might be another picture or two, but we put a bunch of logs down, winched her up on the beach, and kind of lifted it up a little bit somehow, and then just crawled under there and got out a twist drill and started patching it up with aluminum and some kind of gooey, tapey material I got off of somebody. Mm. And then sent the word back in that have the float dolly ready when he lands and get her right out of the water immediately because I knew it wasn't going to last. It was enough to get off, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. Put a new aileron on it, fixed up the wingtip a bit, and away he went. And it really got interesting because the guy that was going to fly it out, we're on these logs, you know, and got it turned around, head to the water, and he put the goal to it, and it accelerated way more than he thought. And he actually was trying to turn, and he actually went into the trees on the other side of the river and then swung loose and then took off. But it was close.
Were these, with that gooey tape, did you put aluminum patches over it? Or?
Oh, tried everything, yeah. And patches and glue and this tape sticking in some of the holes and then a patch over that. Oh, yeah.
What did you do with the aileron?
Oh, we had a spare one somebody borrowed and stuck that on.
These guys all had radios they could call out for help? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That wing's tore up pretty good.
Oh, yeah, and you can see how sunk the float is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the shallows. Oh, yeah, that's one I hadn't thought about in years.
Here's one that I was looking at carefully when I was scanning the slides.
Mm-hmm.
I still see your Jeep out here.
No, it's a boom truck. It's a Dodge.
It's
6x6,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that went in the river right at Fouts as we went down and picked it up. It was upside down, so that's the way we picked her up.
Mm-hmm.
Took it over and parked it.
You remember whose plane it was?
Yeah, it was one of the Fouts' airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
5-7 November, I think. Yeah, 5-7. One of their Super Cubs.
You recognize the fellow standing there with something in his hand?
It's a can of beer and... Oh, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I think there's quite a few pictures of this.
Oh, yeah. It's when he first went up.
So you guys actually recovered this with boats, too?
Oh, yeah. Had some boats over to it so we can get things hooked up and screw around.
So this was out in the middle of the river?
Middle of the Chena, yeah.
Okay.
Hell, yeah.
And you got the floats off it somehow.
Either that or they were torn off. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the plane looks pretty mangled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nobody hurt?
3-2 kilo. Hmm. I don't remember which one it was. Yeah. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got killed, you know.
It's actually 5357N.
No, N would be the first letter.
Oh, is this the first letter here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe turn right side up. That would, yeah, I don't know. That was just, yeah, I would read here. Beats me. Yeah, 3-2 kilo. I don't remember which one.
Recognize anybody?
Yeah, let's see now. That's Roger Burns. That's the guy that wrecked it.
Uh-huh.
And this fellow with the hook, that's Roy Peterson.
Okay.
He was my partner in the Taylor craft before he lost his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, I remember I said, Roger, how did you wreck this airplane? He says, well, I was scratching my butt instead of flying. It was in the fall, and he took off, a little frost in the wings, got off too soon, a little slow, and she fell back in. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How submerged was the plane when you got to it?
About like that.
Was it resting on the bottom?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it, did you rebuild the plane?
No, no, the Fouts rebuilt their own. I just went down and helped them get them out. Mm. Yeah. That's Ted Ruffley. He's the fellow that did most of the rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We probably took the wings and everything off right there. Oh, yeah, tools are out. That's what's going on.
Are the Fouts an old-time family?
They were showed up somewhere late 60s, I guess. No, that's been before that because they were working at Ween's when I got there in 63. So they came up somewhere in the 50s.
From, were they mechanics or pilots?
Mechanics, yeah. Mm-hmm. One son went off to fly for Western Airlines. And one of them still lives here. Yeah. Art Olson's 180 at Beaver Creek. Tried to take off going up, and he wanted some deep sand, and away she went. A little too heavy, a little too hot, and sand drug him down. I'm standing on a bank. It's actually down in the little swale. That airplane is sitting out here now on floats.
Sitting out here at your shop?
Yeah, it's right outside. You can see it through the window. Yeah. In fact, yeah, wingtip damage. See who am I? Sci Fouts, yeah. Young Cy, he flew me up there, and when we both worked on it to get it out, and then he flew it back into town.
Mm. Whereabouts on Beaver Creek was it? Remember?
Herman's Bar. It's an old German trapper. He had a little bit of a runway there, and a lot of people just go up there and go land there and go fishing. Well, it's this old part of an old gravel bar, or slough, and just across the river from it's quite a little bluff. And people that didn't like to take off that way, they were a little leery of that, they would take off going away from the river and then they would get in this sand. A lot of planes got wrecked there because of that. Mm-hmm. But if you took arch towards the bluff, it didn't matter. You just picked up and turned a little bit. It was in good shape. And it was a better runway there, rocks and all.
There used to be strips all over the place, and places to land all over Alaska, I mean. More than today?
Well, all the old miners had a runway of some sort. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was just pure skis in the winter, floats in the summer on the rivers. Mm-hmm. But, Herman's Bar.
I was just reading there's this gigantic encyclopedic two-volume set called Alaskan Aviation History. Written by Robert Stevens, and I was reading about when Ween and them first got started.
Oh, yeah, they did when they runways.
And the people would have to build runways, and as soon as they started figuring out the benefits of air travel, they'd build runways.
They would. The villages built their own, yeah.
And I would get in on Dad building his runway out there at the lake, and that's not just, you don't just build a runway overnight.
No, there's a lot of work involved. Oh, yeah.
Did you pull the engine off that? I see you got a tripod there.
No, that's how we lifted it up, put the landing gear back in. Okay. One of those was ripped out. Got everything bolted back together. Mm-hmm. One of the toughest parts of that job was pulling it out of that little swale it was in. We had to come over about a 6-foot bank. It come along off to something else out there. Cranked away and pushed and heaved and tossed. It had quite a time.
So when he was taking off and hit that sand, did he get pulled off? And then
basically, over, yeah. It pulled him over. Yeah. Yeah, there we're coming up. You can see. Yeah, that's the way it looked. And you know, the silliest thing, we got that out of there. And about a week later, another airplane went right in the same spot, but it went upside down. It's the exact same spot.
Were there a number of mechanics doing these in-field recoveries back then? Or were you involved with that one that went over on its flipped over?
No, I wasn't involved with that. There were some others, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the owners did it themselves. They'd get some friends, go out there, and somebody else, some more airplanes, go out and bunch them, get together, and get them squared away. Mm-hmm. One deal I walked in, I run into, it was over near Eagle. These guys called up, and they'd wrecked their 170, tore the gear out. And they wanted me to go over and work on it. It was a situation I couldn't go. I was too busy doing something. So I told them, I says, well, no, but what you got to do is you get some cables and clamps and some nuts and bolts and a bunch of tin and get over there and get her lifted up. And it doesn't sound like it's too bad. And then anchor, you know, do this and that. I says, I think you can make out. You guys are pretty handy. Well, 3-4 days went by and they called up and says, what you told us worked perfectly. We got her back in town. And to this day, I don't know how they did it. But they did it. Yeah, it's kind of a bum picture, yeah.
Is that pulling the plane out?
Yeah, we're getting ropes hanging up and everything.
Who's that in the picture?
That's Sci-Sci Fouts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any idea what year this is?
I couldn't say. Somewhere in the 80s.
In the 80s? What am I looking at here?
I don't know what to tell you there. No idea. Looks, yeah. Maybe it's a cache over by Herman's house. That could be.
Looks taller than it is because it.
Yeah, it's possibly. Yeah. There. And he still had small wheels on it, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we patched and patched, and one engine mount was broken. We got a. Sci-Sci got a come along in there and wrapped the cables around and tightened her up, and that worked. The tin on the tail.
Is that some of the sand on the runway?
Yeah, that's what we're sitting in there.
That's what kind of got him.
That's what got him in trouble. Yeah.
Mm. Pretty rugged terrain there.
Oh yeah, it is. Yes, yes.
Because you can drive into Gnome Creek now on that U.S. Creek Road.
Mm-hmm.
Get into Beaver Creek right there.
Oh yeah.
It's not that rugged.
It's quite a ways down from this one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are the White Mountains, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my brothers are talking about floating that, but we would have to take out Victoria Creek.
Oh, yeah. Wing patched up, tail's patched. Oh, yeah. One cow flap's missing because we had the handle of the come-along sticking through there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's the plane they took me up in there. That's the same one, 6'3 kilo.
Oh, the one that you...
The one that was in the water.
Huh.
Now, I can't tell you, this is before or after the water deal.
Uh-huh.
Same airplane.
Generally, what were easier repairs, wintertime jobs or summertime?
It varied with the amount of damage, yeah, and the terrain and everything. Mm-hmm. Summers are better, of course. You weren't fighting the weather so much, heating everything and cold all the time. I think I told you when we worked on Ween's Beaver up at Arctic Village, above Arctic Village, the warmest we saw it was 35 below in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So, and you got to be more careful then, or you're going to get something go wrong, hurt yourself, freeze yourself, do something.
Was that one of the colder?
That was probably the coldest one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was one over in the Noatak River with the single otter. We flew in there every day and we came back out, and it was 30, 40 below over there all the time, too.
It wasn't like you could fly heaters in with you, like the big Massey Ferguson heaters or something.
Not that. We had the old Herman Nelsons, the BT-400s. Generally, you could get them into a 180.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what we had over on, that's what we had at, yeah. We had one with this up on the Arctic Village job, and we had one over on the Noatak, too. Mm-hmm.
This is the picture, the series of pictures, I think, that it said Horace Black?
Yeah, Horace Black's airplane. He fell through the ice. That's the one of the earlier Discovery boats right behind him.
Oh, yeah? So this must be on the Chena.
It was on the Chena. Yeah, he called up and told me his troubles, and I said, well, I'm teaching school. I'll take these boys over and show them how to get a plane out of the ice. So we gathered up just about everybody at school and ran over there and made a tripod, lifted it up, and carried on. Good training for the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
They probably don't get that kind of experience in the school anymore.
Oh, not like that. No, because it's not on a runway, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a pretty good job, though. Those fellas are coming out all right.
I think I told you I have some history with Horace. Mm-hmm. Had history with Horace before he passed away, because him and his son and myself were best friends.
Oh, yeah, they were tripodding up.
Mm-hmm. Most of these are.
And there's off to the side of the hole.
Mm-hmm. Was it early in the year? I mean, why would the ice cave in?
Well, you get that. The ice drops. You get the shore ice there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ice on the river itself will sometimes drop down. And there'll be a ledge, you know, like this. You just think it's a little bank of snow. You poke a hole in it, and there's water right there. And the snow is such it lays over it, and you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And the water runs underneath it. There's an air gap in the snow, so it stays thawed. Yeah. Mm, yeah, seems we're working away.
Everybody's wearing surplus army coats.
Oh, sure. That was the thing.
Let me know if you think Horace is in any of these pictures.
I don't think so, because we're trying to figure out something. And I said, Jesus, Horace, we need a ladder. So when he went to get the ladder, we got the airplane out of the hole and got it up.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yep, back to the Taylor craft. Fine old machine. I took my mother-in-law up in that airplane once. Oh, that woman. She was a cantankerous thing. And we went down, looked around, and looked at Moose, and come back. I said, I generally bounce a little bit when I land here. Don't worry about it. And there was a picture of that plane just before it hit, that all three wheels are about 6 inches off the ground. It was the best landing I'd ever made. Never did figure that one out. Of course, then we rode through that big mud hole right in front of it there. There's water all over the place.
I think that's that whole slide carousel.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Sure enough. Well, there's more somewhere then.
More slides?
I'll have to think on that. Yeah, let me take a leak and have a cigarette.